You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Westpac has recently released data on the gender pay gap amongst their organization, showing a 30% difference between men and women. This has prompted a push for other businesses to release their own data. First Union's Tally Williams joins us to discuss why it's great for businesses to be transparent about pay disparity.
I think the importance of companies putting out to the public what their gender wage gap issue is the first step in addressing it. I think as long as it's hidden and as long as the public don't know about it, then pressure's not going to be put on these companies to do something about it. They won't put pressure on themselves to do something about it. So this is important, I think, from a consumer perspective as well, to be able to think about, do I want to invest or support this company who is not prepared to be clear or come out about what's going on with their gender wage gap issue?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And so Westpac's large gender pay gap, 30%, was mostly due to the entry-level roles that were held by women. Why are women dominating these entry-level roles?
The issue is the entry-level customer service roles are done predominantly by women, which does lower the bottom of the wage scale. And that sort of structural inequality at the bottom also progresses through and stymies progress to the top as well. And I think a lot of the way that was like how Westpac has initially responded is they've said, well, let's deal with this issue of getting more women into the boardroom. That's all well and good, but in itself it doesn't deal with the issue, the structural inequality issues and the issues of low pay at the bottom. And our message to Westpac and to other banks and other employers as part of addressing gender pay gap issues is bringing up the pay of lower workers. I think any serious attempt to understand the gender wage gap should not include shifting the blame to women for not earning more. I think that's really important. Rather, any attempt should examine where our economy provides unequal opportunities for women at every point of their education, training and career choices. But further, what value tends to be placed, or lack thereof, value tends to be placed on female-dominated industries versus men.
Yeah. And so how do we get women out of these entry-level roles practically and into the higher roles through the education system and, you know, what you were just saying?
Well, I think that's a really huge question because at its fundamental, it's really about, the dismantling of the patriarchy. And I really don't know where to start with that question, to be honest. But there's a couple of things that we can do in terms of valuing the female-dominated industries. And I think that's the type of work that ETU and unions have started doing in terms of pay equity cases. Examining where where we have female-dominated industries that tend to attract lower pay, just seemingly by virtue of them having being female-dominated, rather than there being an intrinsic lack of value to those roles. So, in the case, for example, of Christine Bartlett working in aged care on the minimum wage, and their comparison was, you know, prison guards or other people involved in highly, you know, emotive, physically demanding work who were, you know, in the majority men, who were paid significantly more than the women in the aged care sector. And they were successful in the courts in establishing their equal pay case and achieving significant pay increases as a result, which more fairly valued that work that they were doing, which of course we know is very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was a loaded question and you did a very good job at answering that. And so lastly, how will First Union be working with Westpac on their gender pay gap moving forward?
So we reached out to the Westpac CEO, David McLean. We, of course, congratulated Westpac on their admission regarding their gender pay gap issue, and we know it's not the only bank with a gender pay gap issue. So it's great that they have come forward with that. What we said to him is we know that a critical way of dealing with the gender pay gap issue is bringing up wages of the lowest paid within the banks, and those are your customer service facing roles, really. So we've said we want to discuss with you what that looks like in terms of bringing those pay rates up. And he's agreed, sit down with us to discuss that. So that's what's going to be happening next. I mean, the key point here, I think, as well, that, you know, unionised industries or unionisation does help in terms of addressing gender pay gap issues, in terms of, you know, the pressure not going on the individual to go in and negotiate pay increases and such on their own, but relying more on the collective leverage to raise pay. And that's certainly, I think, this is a great example of how we can do that.
Yes, and do you think that we'll see other banks coming forward with a similar announcement as Westpac has done?
That's hard to say. I think it's got a lot to do with the pressure that we put on them as the public, as customers, as unions. And certainly that's the call that we've made publicly and we'll be making behind the scenes as well to the various CEOs to be you know, putting pressure on them to make the same stand that Westpac has. It's not easy to make that admission, but as I mentioned before, it's the first step in actually addressing it in any real kind of way.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.